Welcome. This is the first part of the abridged discussion that John Butters and I recorded in the late summer of 2023. We talked about family businesses, executive compensation, and long-term incentives. And you can find the video version of this on YouTube, and there's a link to it at www.vt.solutions, as well as IsfahaniAdvisory.com. Big shout out for Oliver Netkin, who recorded and edited all this. And in this first part, John and I talk about, amongst other things, salaries and benchmarking.
Hello, welcome to this conversation about remuneration between me, John Butters, and Dr. Carl Sjostrom. I'm the chairman of the Hoban Group, Hoban Holiday Parks and Hoban Developments. And what led me to do this has been participating in the Family Business UK network, having dinners and meetings with other chairs of other businesses. And the question of remuneration and particularly long-term incentive plans comes up over and over again. But often one has a little chat and it's not that useful because people tend to compare the features of their own particular schemes that they've built for their own particular businesses. And I think what is really needed is a common ground of understanding of the principles of remuneration, on which I'm certainly not an expert. So I've asked an expert that we've been working with to come and join me for a conversation. It took me a while to find him. I eventually found him through an organization called Isfahani Advisory. His name, as I said, is Dr. Carl Sjostrom. I've got a few little bits about him to introduce him. He's the founder of Vitti Solutions, which is his own business, as well as working with Isfahani. And he advises companies, boards, and business owners. He's based between London and Stockholm, but he will work anywhere in the world. He's previously been managing director of European Reward Consulting at the Hay Group. He's been a partner in remuneration at Deloitte and KPMG, and he's also been vice president of compensation and benefits at Ericsson in Stockholm. He's had 25 years of advising on executive reward in North America, Europe, Africa, and Asia, and has lived all over the world in that connection. He also has a master's and a doctorate in business from Oxford University, and I've particularly enjoyed the ability to have an intellectual conversation with him about this area, which is so complicated and so multifaceted. So I'm looking forward to the conversation. We're going to start by talking about base salary and some principles around that as a way into the topic of remuneration. We're going to talk about bonuses, not in enormous detail, but we're going to go into the principles of setting annual bonus schemes. And some of that will then carry through to the bulk of the discussion, which is around setting long-term incentives. So, Carl, a very warm welcome, and thank you very much for coming all this way and joining me for a conversation.
Thank you for inviting me.
I thought as a way into this, we would start with base compensation. So, because there's a few principles that apply to the creation of long-term incentive plans that are general to the field of remuneration. So I thought we would start with base compensation, then bonus schemes or short-term incentive plans, as people call them, the annual bonus. And there's some principles that we can draw out around there. And then the main meat of the discussion will be long-term incentive plans, both the philosophy of them, and then after we've done the philosophy, we'll get right into the nitty-gritty later on. So first, base salary. And the question that comes up over and over is basically where to position salary versus the market, that people understand the mechanics of paying a salary. But how much you pay versus what market you benchmark yourself against is quite a complicated question. So the first question I've got for you is, as a family business, how do we benchmark salaries?
Yes. So benchmarking is a very healthy thing to do. You make sure that the way you pay is not completely out of line with the rest of the market. But it is just a data point. And that's really important to remember. There are way too many companies that see benchmarking studies as priceless, and they're not. I mean, the way we position salaries needs to be based on how we pay in total. That's very important, so that we don't add the annual bonus and the long-term incentive to a market level, but rather we look at it in totality. That is really important, in particular if we're going to have significant variable compensation in the mix. So the positioning of the total and the base salaries will depend on then how we pay, and also where we want to be in the market and how we differentiate within the company. So I'll probably come back several times to examples of three, because advisors like to say talk about things in three. But when we look at what drives the levels of pay, market is one aspect of that. So we need to go out into the market, we need to find talent, and we need to attract them into our company and then make sure that they stay with the company, and therefore we can't underpay them, but we need to pay an appropriate wage. But there are also internal relativities we need to be very careful with. One is the affordability. If we say, well, we just want to have the best work at this company, lots of people will say, I have a fantastic company we built up, and I only want the best to work here. The best are very expensive. And do we really need the best everywhere? And what kind of individual is brought into the company if we're looking for the best? You know, to have an ensemble for your opera that only consists of prima donnas, that's a difficult task to manage. And you don't necessarily get a better performance. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be part of a holistic view where we look at, okay, so how much can we afford? How do we pay other people within the organization? If we have differentiation, that differentiation internally needs to have a logic to it as well. People always find out what other people are paid, and they need to be comfortable that they're being treated in a fair way. Fair is very difficult because fair is in the eye of the beholder. But the main thing is that the company has a clear view and a clear approach to how you pay. So that's the internal thing. And the third important aspect of how we set levels of pay, what drives levels of pay, is to consider what I call the franchise. So to what extent does the individual we're recruiting in have the upper hand in the power relationship between him or her and the company, or vice versa? So does your brand, if you like, as an employer, allow you to pay less? So, famously, Google used to be the number one favorite employer in a number of countries where they didn't even have employees. They just had such an amazing brand name. And people would work there for more or less free if they could. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can get people to work for very little, and it's reasonable for them to do so, why would you pay more? So your positioning against the market, it's important you understand what the market pays, but it's also important to understand how you are positioned in that market. If you're a very strong employer, that you may not need to pay so much. If you're a weak employer, you may need to pay a lot more.